This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
Many people today live their lives aimlessly, not really thinking too seriously beyond their present life's circumstances. Many of us never grapple with, let alone come to an understanding about, a broader, more comprehensive reason or purpose for our life. All but only if we'd realize there is. You see, mankind has a unique position of being created in the very image of God. Therefore, this connection that we have to God is fundamental to understanding a specific dynamic for developing a purpose-driven life. Today's program will add clarity to this dynamic, which underpins a key to living your life with greater purpose. So stay with us as we explore this subject on today's edition of The Armor of God.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bronson James.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to another edition of the Armor of God, internationally broadcast to those who have a desire to know the Word of God. Today's program is one that I think has already had the stage set for you. As you peer into crowds, perhaps at a mall or walking along the streets or gather together in accumulations of human flesh all throughout the world, have you ever thought about those folk, maybe even implanting yourself in the picture as an individual who has potentiality of being used of God? That's the title of today's program, Used of God. I don't know about you, but it's a marvelous thing for me to contemplate, coming from, shall we say, humble beginnings. I'm from the projects in Columbus, Georgia. Shout out to you down there around Fort Benning, and also the city of Detroit. And in those places, as I drive by, especially in Detroit, to where we originally lived when I was 10 years of age, and that home is gone. It's just a vacant lot now, as most of the lots on that block are vacant. And drive through other places where I've lived and look and see, and in amazement that God would find a use for me. Along with my colleagues here on the Armor of God telecast, and you are becoming familiar with them, and there are those behind the scenes that you don't know by name, but God has a use for all of them, for all of us. And my guess is that perhaps you might be considering, how could you best be used of God? Now, I could give you a long list of names of individuals, popular names from the Bible, to which you would say, well, I can't identify with an Abraham. He had great wealth. I can't identify with a Hannah who prayed to God for a child, and as a result of her prayer and her commitment, Samuel was born. You can't maybe compare yourself to David except in his sin factor, but the heart that belonged to God, how can you measure up? How can you measure up as a female to a young teenage girl named Mary? These named individuals throughout the Bible. But I want to share some time with you today to talk about some nameless people, somebodies, anonymous folk. And perhaps you might feel more comfortable fitting into that category of people, because God has a place for you. He has a use for you. Not because He needs you or me, but he desires to have us as a part of his work in the world. Jesus Christ himself told his disciples, go out into the highways and byways and compel people to come to me. That's an interesting thought. So it's not just enough to receive salvation for yourself and to be satisfied, but then he wants us to spin out of our lives productivity, usefulness, that will give him glory and honor, and then find a place for us in his eternal kingdom. I want to share with you today offers that we're making in today's program. First of all, the reprint article is entitled, How to Be Used of God. How to Be Used of God. It's only 4 pages long. You can read that in no time. 4 pages that give you specificity on how to be used of God. In addition to that, I have a sermon that I have especially prepared for you that I'd like to offer. The title of it is Somebody, colon, Used of God. Somebody. Who could that be? Could your name fit into that somebody slot? As God has found a place for me, along with my brother from another mother, Mike James, or from Bill Watson, producer of this telecast, and also from our new addition, Tony Buchert. And there are others who also participate in this production to come to you, to encourage you to find usefulness with God. First of all, I want to go to a section of the Bible that all of us are familiar with. It's about Joseph, you know, one of the sons of Jacob. He had 12 of those sons, you know, and Jacob was the outstanding one. He was the one who had all these dreams about what greatness he could achieve and his usefulness to God, and it irritated his brothers, I'm telling you, down to their toenails. And they finally decided they're going to do something about this upstart. He's having these dreams, these visions about his greatness and how, you know, 12 stalks of grain grew up, 11 of them bowed down to the other stalk, that was him, or the stars of heaven, and how they bowed down to this one star. And he said, of course, you know, Joseph, I'm the man. And they said, oh yeah, well, we're going to get something for you. But when I come to this usefulness, I'm not talking about Joseph, though he was used of God, no doubt about it. But there is an unnamed individual who, if he was out of place, if he declined to be used of God, the whole story of the Bible would be different. But I'm so thankful to God that this somebody found himself in a place to be used of God to enhance the story of Joseph as he is being sold by his brothers into servitude in Egypt. You imagine what would have happened if this man hadn't been there? Joseph wouldn't have gone into prison in Egypt. He would not then have become exalted and elevated by the Pharaoh of Egypt to be second in command. His entire family would not have been saved if this somebody, this anonymous individual, did not allow himself to be used of God. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Genesis, the 37th chapter, and we'll just drop into the midst of the story in verse 12. This is the story of Joseph and his father, Jacob, who's also named Israel by God. It says, and his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel, that's Jacob, said unto Joseph, do not your brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send you unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray you, see whether it be well with your brethren and well with their flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out to the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Now here comes the somebody, the unnamed individual who is being used of God. It reads this way in verse 15. And a certain man, no name, found him, Joseph, and behold, he was wandering in the field, and the man asked him, saying, who do you seek, or what do you seek? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray you, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, this somebody. They are departed hence. For I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, the dreamer cometh. Now we know the rest of that story, don't we? It worked out pretty well for Joseph. It worked out great for the children of Israel, Jacob's children, because eventually God had designed salvation for the family of Jacob in bringing them into Egypt when there was a great famine in the land, and thus planting them for 430 years in Egypt, because somebody, unnamed, did the bidding of God, became useful to God. To help you understand a little bit more about this term, a certain man, in the Hebrew language, it's basically ish, sometimes translated man, sometimes just translated in the Jewish idiom of the thinking as somebody. Somebody walking along, somebody minding their own business, somebody going about their lives, and boom, they bump up against somebody that God wants to impress, somebody that God wants to use. And in using Joseph, God also used somebody. There's another story I want to share with you to help you understand that God is not a respecter of persons when it comes to our usefulness to him. That was a male example. I want to show you a female example if you would like to consider this. This moves forward in the history of Israel into the time when they have kings now. They're no longer in Egypt. They're no longer wandering in the wilderness. They're no longer just coming into the land of Palestine. But now they are established, and there are a series of kings. There's a northern kingdom, the house of Israel, and then a southern kingdom, the house of Judah. But I want to put the spotlight for this moment in time on the northern kingdom, the house of Israel. In 2 Kings, the fifth chapter, we're introduced to a Syrian general named Naaman. Naaman the Syrian. And that's so interesting because sometimes we think God only dealt with ancient Israel. No, God was dealing outside of Israel all the time. We just don't like to recognize it. That's like coming forward to our day saying that God only loves America because that's all he's dealing with. Well, no, God is dealing with people all over the world, all the time. You just have to wake up and smell the coffee. You have to take a look and analyze what's going on. Here is a Syrian who is anathema to the house of Israel. They're an enemy. They're close to them. And sometimes, you know, there have been battles back and forth between these two entities. Let's read what the account gives us here in 2 Kings, the fifth chapter, starting with verse 1. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and an honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He also... Did I read that right? That God was concerned about Syria being victorious under Naaman? That's what I think I just read, but you be the judge. It says here, he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Okay, leprosy. That's the kind of thing that in Israel, if you had leprosy, if you walked along the street, you'd have to yell out, unclean, unclean. But because he was a Syrian and the king loved him, he did not have that ostracism put upon him. But there was great concern for his health and well-being. It says here, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, unnamed. And she waited on Naaman's wife. So she was in servitude to the wife of Naaman in a foreign land, having been taken captive from another place. As a descendant of Africans, I'm grateful to have been brought to my relatives or distant relatives, brought to this land of America by God's design. Think about it, if you would. I'm not angry about it. Don't know who to be angry at. I'm just glad and grateful that God would be merciful to find usefulness out of a system that was against me, just as with Joseph. All right, let's read on about this little maid. She said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet." She is saying, with God, if my Lord, the Syrian, Naaman, if he were with the prophet that is in Samaria, that was the capital of the northern kingdom of the house of Israel, for if he was there, he would recover him of his leprosy. This little unnamed girl, caught in a tough situation, had been taken from her land. Mom and dad are wondering, where is our baby? You know, all of these signs out and about. We call them, I forget what they call it now, when they put up the pictures on the freeway and announcements on television about some child is missing. Here's a missing child. She finds herself in a difficult circumstance. What does it say? Verse 4. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." In other words, the wife of Naaman had somebody listening who then turns around and goes to the king and says, "This is what I heard this little girl say." This unnamed, anonymous, useful tool of God to bring about the healing of a man with leprosy who is foreign to the children of Israel. God is an amazing God when you think about who he chooses to use. The Apostle Paul wrote over in 1 Corinthians that God chooses the foolish things of the world, the unwise one, to confound the wise. And sometimes when God sends us a messenger, if we don't like the cut of their jib, their pigmentation, or even their sex, I don't know if I'm going to listen to this person because, you know, they don't seem to fit how I think God would choose a person to be used. Well, let's go on. The king said, king of Syria said, "Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and take this letter over to the king of Israel." He departed, took with him 2 talents of silver. He's going to go and grease the slide, if you will, because he, the king of Syria, loved Naaman so much that he heard on the grapevine that there was a healer over in the land of Israel, putting all hostilities aside, all disenchantment aside. He says, "I want you to go over there, take this letter, take these gifts to this prophet so that my servant can be healed." You could read the rest of the story there in the fifth chapter of 2 Kings about the nameless little maid and the impact she had. You're getting the picture? I've given you a male and a female. But you're saying, "Well, that's back over in that Old Testament kind of stuff, and I'm a New Testament kind of believer. And as a result of my New Testament persuasion, can you show me something over in the New Testament that would encourage me with this anonymous somebody-ism, if you will?" Well, yeah, I'm glad you asked. So let's go over to the book of Luke. And there are so many examples in the New Testament of nameless people that God or Jesus Christ healed while he was here ministering on the earth. So many different ones. And there are those that are named. I want to go to this passage because it has 2 miracles in it. One has to do with an individual who is named, but then the other one has to do with an unnamed female. Let us take a look at what we find in the Gospel of Luke, the 8th chapter. We'll start with verse 41. And it says here, "And behold, there came a man named Jairus." There you go. This man is named. So he's not anonymous. In fact, we learned that he was the ruler of the synagogue in this locale. "And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had 1 daughter only, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him." They surrounded Jesus so tough that he could not move. He couldn't get along and couldn't get to this destination for this ruler of the synagogue who was named Jairus. And in the midst of this crowd comes an anonymous woman that we all know by the deed, by her circumstance, but we don't know her name. And it's at this moment that God decides to use her, not only to enlarge who Jesus Christ is, but to encourage all of us who would come after Jesus to believe in the healing power of God and the miraculous working power of God in our lives. Let's read what it says here in verse 43. And a certain woman having an issue of blood, she had an hemorrhage, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. That's a tough situation. I imagine there's some of you watching this program today with health issues, with family concerns, with economic concerns, all kinds of conditions confronting you. And we here at the Armor of God declare to you that God Almighty, who sits in the heavens and look low upon our circumstance, can step into our situation, though we may in fact be anonymous, nameless, somebody's. And our God can step into our circumstance just as he's going to do with this unnamed woman. She came up behind Jesus in verse 44 and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her hemorrhage or issue of blood staunched. It stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" You know the rest of the story. And she declares finally, the first disciple said, wait a minute. With this crowd of people around you, Jesus, I mean, anybody could have touched you. I don't know why you're spending so much time wondering about who touched you. Well, when you reach out to touch the Master, virtue will go out of him, power will go out of him in response to your need. God loves you that much that he can step into a dire circumstance. Jesus said in response to what the disciple said, "Somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue or power is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and fell down before him, unnamed somebody. Falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, didn't ask her name, didn't even use her name, but the crowd is all around, and he simply says, "Daughter." Daughter. A sign of affection. "Be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." Isn't that a remarkable story? Or do you still see it as just a story? Couldn't happen to you? Could never occur for you that Jesus would step into your circumstance and that you could wind up being a vessel of usefulness to God. It's one of the stories I wanted to share with you. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. There's an account in Matthew, but there's also an account in Mark. Let's go to Mark 7 and take a look at an example of a woman that I can identify with because, well, she was a Canaanite. Mark 7, and let's begin in verse 24. Mark calls her a Syrophoenician woman. Matthew accounts calls her Canaanite. Canaanites, descendants of Ham. He had four sons. One of them was Canaan. And we have always suggested, we being scientists and biologists and whatnot, suggest that Ham was the father of the people of color. So I can identify with this woman. But just take a look at the scripture and see what you can glean from it and understand about the usefulness of God. We're in Mark 7 and verse 24. It says, "And from hence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know, but he hid himself. But a certain woman, unnamed, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet." Now, in this program called The Armor of God, you hear about us presenting all the time things about God, about Jesus Christ, how we should understand the relationship to the commandments, all those things. We are pouring out all the time good information that will help strengthen your armor, so that you can then find a usefulness to God. Well, this woman was a Greek, it says in verse 26, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But look at what Jesus says to her. Let the children first be fed. He's talking about the children of Israel. For it is not suitable or meet to have the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Hold up, bruh. What? Did you just call me a dog? I think that's what he did just said to this woman. Now, right away, some of us would say, I ain't taking this. I can't handle this. This guy's disrespect. He dissed me. No, her response is so interesting, and I'm asking you to consider your response to your usefulness to God by not saying, well, everything's not perfect like I want it to be, and therefore I'm not ready to serve him yet. I'm not ready to be of use to him yet. Well, look at what she says. She says, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And as a result of that statement of faith, that conviction, that willingness to be used of Christ at that moment, she says, for this saying, go your way. This is what Jesus says, go your way. The devil is gone out of your daughter. The demon is gone out of your daughter. Wow. You mean to tell me that our Savior is moved with such compassion to respond to our need and us then being used of God? That's what I'm saying to you. To confirm this, I want you to get the free material that we're offering to you today. First of all, the booklet or the reprint article is entitled, How to Be Used of God. And this is so interesting because it just sums it up this way. Think through your mind. See through your eyes. Hear through your ears. Speak through your voice. Work with your hands. Walk with your feet and love through your heart. This article will give you more information about how to implement those things because then you will be used of God. He will use those elements in your life to serve him. And also the sermon is entitled, Somebody Used of God, where I'll be able to expand and go into more details. But till next time, this is Bronson James here on the Armor of God, reminding you, my friends, that you must put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand in these evil days. And more importantly, as a result of today's program, put yourself in a position to be used of God. Take care, my friends, and God strengthen your armor in its place for these evil days. Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.